At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, everybody. Hello and welcome back into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds coming to you here on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. As you guys are aware from a week ago, your fearless leader, Patrick O'Dowd, is on hiatus for the next couple of weeks as real world needs and duties will occupy his time. But the train keeps rolling, or should I say the bandwagon keeps rolling on here at BWN, as we have not missed an episode in 301 consecutive weeks, and that's not going to happen this week either, as we are back here for the 302nd consecutive week. Can we claim ourselves the longest running pop culture podcast consecutive? Probably not, but we're going to, on the chair shot, we are. But anyway, no one cares.
Who gonna stop us?
That's true. That's true. So there you go. The longest running pop culture podcast on the interwebs that actually matters. There you go. I'll add a qualifier to it, and that's what it's all about. I am, of course, your host this week, the lawyer Dave Unger, coming to you here on this lovely kayfabe Sunday morning, afternoon, wherever, depending on what part of the world you're in. You already heard his voice earlier today. It is the one and only the Reverend Ray Cash. I think we have Optimus Prime here today, as in the Prime Minister. Ray, the Prime Minister Cash, is here today. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm glad I don't have 7-8-figure variants today. That's exhausting.
It's too many numbers for me to remember, and it gives me a headache. So I don't want to mess with all that. We are also joined, of course, by the man with with undisputably the longest consecutive week streak here on the bandwagon. The man who's just not a fan of technology or AI, or he's hoping Skynet just wipes us all out, the sooner the better. The one and only PC Tunney. Tunney, I'm not going to ask how you're doing because I know you're like, yeah, whatever. But it's good to see you, buddy.
Doing great, Dave. Not a wind chime with an earshot.
No, that's
don't update your computer, folks. Don't do it. Don't do it. But we're here. You can hear me, so people can hear me. And there we go. We're back. Bandwagon Nerds 302.
302.
I appreciate your commitment to kayfabe.
I do too.
Oh, I gave up on it. I was mad in the moment, and now I'm done with it. And there's nothing I can do.
I'm gonna look at it. Alcohol has a very good effect on everybody's outlook to things, Ray. It does help sometimes. So We got an interesting episode this week, and actually for the next couple weeks, we're going to be doing something fun. The trailer park is ridiculously light this week. In fact, the second trailer is one I just found last night when I was like looking around thinking, we really only had one fucking trailer discussed in the chat this week, but you know, we're gonna do a light trailer park, and then we got quite a bit of news to kind of talk about, and then at the end of the episode, just something fun that the three of us are gonna do for the next couple weeks, our own kind of versions of What If, with some very special rules that we will get to as we get to it. But let us jump into the trailer park. I know that Tony, you can't give us a wide variety of banjos this week, but Ray, did you want to be the live studio audience, live banjo?
Sorry, Patrick. Yeah. Patrick, I'm really sorry. I restarted my computer 10 minutes
ago. Hey, Patrick. Patrick, I'm sorry about both your phones that you're destroying right now as you're about to hear this. So,
the pressure you have put on me, I'm nervous now. I'm nervous. Can you give me a proper introduction, please?
Yes. Coming to you live here on Bandwagon Nerds 302, the human fiddle, the Reverend Ray Cash.
Oh, shit. I got to get a fiddle now. Okay. There you go. That's it. Go ahead. Trailer park.
Yeah.
I don't want Patrick to.
You know what? Just as good as that was, Ray, and I'm not saying it wasn't good, but because it was, I'm going to throw in the old school Foggy Mountain breakdown at the beginning of this, just because we haven't done that in God since Tunney took over the soundboard and became Mr. Violin. So I am not complaining, Tunney. Don't get me wrong. I am happy to cede control of that over to you. It is one less thing for me to mess with in post-credit editing, whatever. But I'll throw in some Foggy Mountain right here. All right. So we got only two trailers this week. It is a very slight week in the trailer park. One of them was shared by our good friend, Mr. O'Dowd, The Haunted Hotel. So this is an animated series that is coming to Netflix on September 19th, made by the same dudes, as if I recall this correctly, who have done Rick and Morty. And I, you know, it's kind of like all these ghosts get trapped in this hotel and they can't leave. And hilarity ensues is the best way to describe it. It looks kind of fun. Looks kind of interesting. Tony, I'll defer to you first. See, what did you think of this one?
I thought Adam's Family meets the CBS series Ghosts, right? Like, what's yes. the kid's name? Abaddon?
Abaddon or something.
Which is like the child of the devil, right? Or something like that. But anyway, it like, if you're not familiar, and I haven't really watched it, but it was a cool premise. It's like the series Ghosts on CBS is these people live in this house and they just keep collecting these ages and ages of ghosts with different, you know, occupations and you know, family statuses and things of that nature. And then you throw in like Abaddon being kind of like a Wednesday kind of influence as a child, you know, on the rest of this family, Adam's Family kind of thing. It looks funny. It looks clever. I don't know. There's a lot of series like this on Netflix. Netflix is continuing to try and catch fire with one of these. They just haven't. They've had a few that have had a couple good first seasons, but then they fizzle out a little bit. But we'll see if this one catches on. I am a big Will Forte fan. I heard his voice in here on one of the characters. So looks fun.
Yeah, very much looks fun. I think that's one of the best things you can say about it. Ray, what'd you think of this trailer?
First off, thank you, Tony, because I was trying to figure out was that Melania or Forte. Yeah, so yes, it is Forte. Secondly, you mentioned Adam's Family and Ghost. I'll take that and I'll raise you. Hotel Transylvania, Adam Sandler. Only difference is the human who was the daughter's husband, the human's actually running the hotel. But it's very similar premise. It does look fun. It does look interesting. I don't know if it looks fun enough for me to give it a watch. I'd be curious to see how much it is watched. But this is the reason why, with respect to all the other streaming services, Netflix has always been number one, because they're the only one with their, that, well, Apple TV Plus now, I think, to an extent too, but they make their own shit. Everybody else has already built IP that they, you know, MGM or Marvel or Fox. Netflix just literally says, creators, come holler at us, we'll give you a bag, give it a try. So I appreciate it in that regard.
I think you guys hit on it. It looks fun. Netflix, like you said, Ray, hasn't had the, or both of you guys have kind of said that they haven't had the best of track records with this stuff, but that doesn't mean we should stop trying. And this looks like it'll be a fun one. So I'll probably check it out. I say that, but then I keep looking at my watch list growing longer by the freaking day. And I'm like, man, one of these days I'll get to all of this stuff. When can I retire? I got to look at my retirement planner again. It's still a few years off. Of course, yeah, Tony's. I know. According to Patrick, I should have retired like 200 years ago. But, you know, the other trailer is one that I found this last night because, like, yeah, seriously, I was looking through our trying to put some stuff together because I knew it was like, well, I'll put the rundown together in the morning, but let me get an idea of where I want to go. This is what happens when you do things at midnight, kids. And I was like, really? We only had one trailer this whole damn week? So I started looking around and I'm like, well, what had to be something else come out on Netflix or something? And I found this trailer that when I first saw it, I thought, well, maybe this is the Steve Jobs, you know, biopic or something like that. But it's a trailer for another movie called Steve with Cillian Murphy, who we all love. And this movie looks all kinds of messed up. These kids are all kinds of messed up. I'm not sure who Cillian Murphy's character Steve actually is, if he's an authority figure, a counselor, a therapist, all of the above, none of the above. I'm not exactly sure, but Ray, I want to go to you first on this one. What did you think of this trailer? This looks like a unique sort of, I think you likened it earlier to like a big, huge star taking on like an indie role. And that does have that feel to it here.
This is definitely an indie movie. You could tell. For those of you who aren't very familiar, you could tell indie movie by the lack of set changes. Where they're in the same two, three places all the time. That's more than likely indie movie. My first two thoughts were, number one, Cillian Murphy trying to get Oscar buzz because he probably should have got it for Oppenheimer.
Yes.
Secondly, my second thought was, look at Tim Drake. I guess he's British too. Everybody British. Those of you who don't know, Tim Drake was the black kid who he was in Titans. It looks a lot like a Good Will Hunting-esque movie or
Dead Poets Society.
Society.
Yeah.
You wanna get a little grimier, Dangerous Minds-esque.
Right.
Shout out to Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah, but what I appreciate about the most, a lot of the times you see a little bit of what that puts on the teacher, but here you can see him literally losing his mind. And I'm curious to see where that will go. Cause these ain't just your ordinary miscreants. Like they out here like whooping ass on a regular basis. So I'm curious, but Cillian is built for this. Like Cillian is getting in that Denzel, Daniel Day-Lewis, Leo conversation where like best actors alive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Oscar, you know, doing something that's going to be Oscar worthy, this is going to probably get some of that. And you're right, Ray. It does have any of those kind of like school based movies. And we're not talking like Porky's or Risky Business, that sort of stuff. But, you know, we're talking the more serious sort of aspect of things, and this has that feel to it. Tony, what'd you think of this trailer? Did I pick a good one, or are you like, fucking Dave, man, he just comes up with his shit late at night and I don't give a crap?
Oh, this looks good. Didn't we have the Peacock one with Giamatti recently, which was kind of like a less of like an in school but like a during break kind of thing, the kids had to stay there or something. Anyway, I'm wondering if those moments where Murphy's losing his mind is exaggerated to what is happening in his head, where the kids are like screaming at him in the hallway. Ooh. Like it feels like the scene is like sped up and over exaggerated. Like maybe that's kind of how he feels as opposed to exactly what's happening. I have no idea. It was a really interesting trailer. I don't know that this is something I'll watch, but yeah, I mean, it reminds you of all those things when you end up with those type of adolescence at that age and seeming to have a troubled past, right? Like school ties and all those different, you know, toy soldiers and everything like that kind of comes into mind along with what you guys have said. You guys hit it right on the head. So I'm sure this will get watched by a lot of people. I may not be one of a lot of those people.
And yeah, just to clarify, it is going to have a theatrical run on a very limited basis. September 19th, ironically, the same day Haunted Hotel drops. And then it will be appearing on Netflix on October 3rd. So, yeah, I mean, you know, unless you're like us with an unwieldy watch list, then by all means, I think check out Steve because, you know, yeah, when you've got guys like Cillian Murphy, it's going to be a good movie and it's going to be something worthwhile to check out. So, that's it, guys. That's our quick little stop at the trailer park this week. Onward and outward, you know, that sort of thing. Let's get into some of the news. We got quite a few news stories this week. This is not many trailers, but a pretty heavy week for news. And I want to start off with, and this is kind of a crossover between Bandwagon Nerds and Four Corners, because I think like last week, weren't we talking, when we were talking on one of the shows or maybe multiple shows, we were talking about the ESPN WWE deal and the NFL ESPN deal and how that was going to impact the industry. And one of the things we questioned was UFC, right? And we were like, well, what's going to happen with UFC? And a lot of us just assumed, oh, it's going to stay on ESPN. They're consolidating everything. And then we get the news this week that out of nowhere, like an RKO out of nowhere, there's your first wrestling. Oh, no, I said WWE 30 seconds before that. So there you go. But like an RKO out of nowhere, Paramount jumps into the fray, grabs this UFC deal. What was it? $7 billion? Is that what they got it for?
$7.1 billion for 7 years.
$7.1 billion for how many years? Seven?
7 years.
So $1 billion a year. This is massive because UFC pay-per-views are going to be a thing of the past. Everything's going to go to Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus is not one of these networks that you sit there and think, you know, big players. You know, you think Netflix, you think Prime, obviously ESPN, Disney, that sort of thing. Paramount Plus, up until this week, probably best known from my standpoint as the home for all of the Star Trek stuff. I mean, that's what I use it for, is I watch all the Star Trek stuff there. And most of the other things on there, you know, aren't so great. And I think later on in the week after this deal hit, you know, we got that statement from one of the executives at Paramount Plus stating that they really weren't focused or worried about streaming movies and streaming stuff like that. It's like, well, you just came up with 7 billion reasons why you don't give a shit about that stuff. But I guess the bigger thing is, my question, and I'll go to Tony first on this one, is, you know, this is a big power play for a company that really was not on anybody's radar at the beginning of the week to grab this deal. Does this make Paramount Plus, and I know what they're saying, well, we don't really care about streaming and stuff like that, but don't they kind of have to now? Because there are going to be a lot more eyeballs on it than before, and you would think that they might want to leverage some original content at this point in time to go along with this major hub that they've grabbed onto.
ESPN really traded away UFC for WWE. They did. They could have spent the money on to keep UFC, right? It was on the ESPN Plus platform. Could have been on the DTC, but no. Am I right or wrong in remembering, or am I misremembering Roger Clemens style without the PEDs over here? are the UFC pay-per-views, which now are just PLEs, premium live events, basically, they're, I thought I heard they're going to be on CBS, actually.
Well, they're still going to be on pay-per-view, but every contract they've had, when they had, their very first contract was with Fox. They had pay-per-views, and then they had cards that were on Fox's main channel. ESPN had an ESPN One, which is a pay-per-view-esque card.
So yeah. Where are their pay-per-views going to be now? Are they just going to be free with the app?
Free with the app, on Paramount.
On Paramount. Okay. I mean, Paramount's so going to bump.
CBS. They're going to be on Paramount Plus. So Paramount's going to bump their more than how much were they? $11.99? They'll probably be $17.99.
They've been like, I've been paying $5 or something like that a month for Paramount Plus right now. Now it's got ads and shit. It was cheap. That's obviously going to change. And that's why I'm wondering. But first, to get to your point, did they swap ESPN for, or UFC for ES, or excuse me, WWE for UFC? Wow, I'm all over the place. I think you're right. And if you go strictly on social media following, who has a bigger following? It's WWE by about 1.5 million. So that's a pretty big swing there.
Think about the direction of WWE's content for behind the scenes, like Unreal and all their documentaries and stuff, how that is kind of going upward, trending one way. And a lot of the stuff the UFC does, one of the things that made UFC as big as they are today to start with was Ultimate Fighter. And that's really not as big as it used to be at all, not watched by as many people as it used to be at all, in my opinion.
No, think about this too. Which of the two is a more global brand right now? You look at what happened yesterday with Triple Mania. I think WWE is a much bigger global brand.
Which one is also a brand that covers more demographics from, you know, 4, 5, and 6 to 75, 80, 85, right?
Yeah. I never thought y'all would make me come on here and defend UFC.
No, but a lot of I want you to say what you have to say, and I believe you're going to come up with some good points, but I don't feel there's anything. I feel there's a lot of room for good points for the UFC side you're about to make, but I don't think anything Dave and I have said is wrong.
No.
And the other weird thing is, from TKO's standpoint, you know, I heard people say, why would you separate it up like this? Well, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. They're not that dumb. And if they're like, hey, they were going to get way more from Paramount than they ever would have got from ESPN for this deal. So yeah, I'm like, why not do it?
Leverage you give someone controlling both, by the way, right?
Let's look at this in totality. First and foremost, TKO is a new venture. So they've watched what WWE has done and splitting their IPs in multiple different things. And so they get $5 billion for Raw. Mm-hmm. They get $2+ billion for SmackDown. They get $25 million a year for the developmental show. They get this much for the library. Like, so they've seen how that works. So of course they're going to do that in a bigger scale. First off, touching on did ESPN just swap WWE for UFC? You have to remember the structure is different. When UFC was with ESPN, you had to subscribe to the app, and then you still had to pay the pay-per-view number. So that is a split between ESPN and UFC. So here, the profit all goes to Paramount because they've already given UFC the money up front. So it's a different monetary scale. It's not quite the same swap for swap. But I think it's genius because pay-per-view is a very antiquated market. Very antiquated market, as Tony Khan AEW will soon find out with trying to put the shit on Max. Secondly, and I love WWE.
Already millions of people watch AEW on Max every week. Don't you know that?
Look, I've heard, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. None of us believe that.
More power to you.
I appreciate your delusions of grandeur, guys. Knock yourself out. Cocaine is good. What, guys? Hell of a drug.
Many people watching, but they can't feel the 1500 seat arena.
That's right.
To the global appeal of the sport of UFC versus WWE. You guys said all the right things about WWE, but the one thing that I think is missed in this conversation, and I love WWE, I love wrestling, but it's no comparison. UFC is a sport. Sport will always do more than scripted. That's the reason why all of these sporting leagues are getting stupid money for their rights fee. Luckily, the old man, and then after that, Nick Khan, Triple H, finally was able to get people to realize the sports leagues go away. We're 24/7, 365. And so their rights fees got up. Not quite comparable, but close to it. But UFC is always going to get a bigger reach. Now, yes, on a day-to-day basis, because of the scripted nature of it and because of the ability to directly impact with the consumer based on a scripted thing, like UFC doesn't have the ability to send their one guy to Japan for a week and do media. They're a sport. WWE can do that. You know what I'm talking about? But there are regularly UFC cards. There's one every week now, basically. But there are regularly UFC cards all over the world. Saudi Arabia. Gustafsson is in Sweden. They did one in Sweden for him. Rio de Janeiro. Fight Island was in the UAE. Like, Japan. They've done them everywhere. They've got to do one, whether or not they mean this shit or not, on the fucking White House lawn. So oh, there happening. Is
July 4th, 2026.
So there is a much bigger appeal. It's just the problem is because it is sports, is I looked at in the same entertainment scripted ideal as WWE, which makes it WWE looks like a bigger. Whenever a movie comes out, whatever movie it is, Endgame, Sinners, Fantastic Four, Superman, whatever the fuck it is, the reason that movie feels big is because if you pay attention to popular culture, they go to every fucking medium, hot ones, Jimmy Fallon, Colbert, whatever podcast, this is, to let the world know, First Take or whatever, to let the world know that the shit is out. UFC don't do that. So, of course, the scripted entertainment is going to look bigger than the sport.
Saturday, July 4th, 2026, the White House lawn.
That's the day we're going to get it. We're going to get it.
I've seen it. It's a great card. It's a really big card. A lot of great fights. Bing, bang, boom.
Saturday, July 4th, White House lawn.
That was pretty good, Tony. That's going to be the day the aliens land on the White House lawn and interrupt the UFC. Let's go. Let's fucking go. I've seen the spheres. I've seen the orbs. They go fast.
and we just kick their ass in 3 seconds and they leave. They never come back.
Can I be controversial for one split second?
You? Controversial? Go ahead.
I feel like, and keep it on the level. Let's not get deeper than I try to go because I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. But I think we bloviated about the ramifications of Colbert being shut down, essentially, the whole damn show, and what that could possibly mean for not just journalism, but for media. I think and I posit that Trump worked out or helped broker this deal for UFC because him and Dana are really good friends. And as a way to reward Paramount, who was fledgling to get something major.
It's also possible that Paramount saw the writing on the wall and said, well, under the current administration, why don't we go in that direction and actually make some money?
No, you're
like,
right.
They are a business. Yeah. They are a business.
But to that point, my question, I'll give it to you, Dave, just 1 second. To that point, Tony, and that's a great point. My question is, where did you get this money from? Because if you had $7 billion to give over 7 years, you could have been doing it for all these other entities. And one of your biggest money makers was The Late Show.
You want to know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Jerry Buss and Colorado Buffaloes. Jerry Buss didn't have the money for the Lakers. He was just hoping that they would do really well, and that way he'd be okay. The Colorado Buffaloes didn't really have the money to pay Deion Sanders. They were just hoping he would do well enough that they would be okay. It all worked out for them. This one seems like a home run as well. Like, Paramount's got a pretty deep bag.
Well, and I mean, getting away from the sports, because, Pat's on his third phone by now. But, you know, talking about Paramount Plus, the guy, I think he posted something. The guys who do Stranger Things, I'm missing their name. But I think they are now interested in moving over
and got a deal,
For Paramount. So, if they can develop a Stranger Things-esque sort of show exclusively for Paramount Plus, that's going to help. But they got
a lot of good shows. Like, they got a show on Paramount that regularly stars, I'm talking like in the regular cast, Zoe Saldana, Nicole Kidman, and Morgan Freeman.
Who is that? Does anybody know about it, though? That's the problem.
Yeah, Lioness. Lioness is a big show. We just don't watch it. Yellowstone. Initially was a Paramount show.
Well, this is certainly going, no matter what they say, they're going to have to come up with some more stuff. I mean, like you mentioned Apple TV, and we've seen kind of their evolution over the past couple of years with this really awesome original content that they've been doing and that sort of thing. So I imagine we're going to see them do something and branch off into other stuff other than Star Trek. I don't know. Are there any other franchises out there that you think they should be targeting to maybe bring over?
So what's smart about them and the thing that, so if you look at broadcast television, the big three were always NBC, ABC, CBS. Fox was the newer one, which they were the little one. Fox has usurped because of their movie. Well, they don't own it anymore, but at the time, because of their movie studio and because of the news. CBS always became like the old channel, right? And all the other channels were the younger channel, right? But they think about what Paramount owns. They own MTV and all of its catalog. They own Nickelodeon and all of its catalog. They own whatever Spike TV used to be, which is now Paramount Network. Like, they have a lot. They own Showtime. So, like, they have a lot of IP. They just don't do a good job of showing it.
Right. And I think that's going to have to change now. I mean, if you're going to really try and, you know, if you're going to try and make the biggest splash possible and you've done this big move. And I mean, it is great for UFC because I think it's going to increase a lot of traffic there when people are like, oh, I don't have to pay all these pay-per-views anymore. For it's going to be it's going to be the WWE Network effect. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I think we beat that into the ground quite a bit. Let's move on to the next news story. One that I know, this is one that Patrick will not throw his phone at the wall for, because him and our good friend DJ were very happy to learn that Delta Airlines has cut an interesting deal to bring in, where did that go? Okay, there it is. It sent me to a different site. Delta's partnered with Crunchyroll, the world's premier anime streaming platform, to bring 2,000 anime titles to Delta Flyers later this year. And like Pat and DJ were both like, man, it makes me want to take a flight on Delta Airlines just to be able to watch some of this stuff. So Ray, what do you think about this? I'll go to you first. I mean, I like anime as much as the next guy. You know, is that going to be a selling point to get me on a Delta Airlines flight? Honestly, the way air travel is lately with this shit dropping from the sky, I'm like, you know what? I think I'll stay on the ground. But if I was going to fly somewhere, would, you know, all this great anime content on a Delta Airlines convince me to fly Delta? Me, probably not. But what do you think, Ray? Tony's like, so come on over.
Partnerships are smart, right?
Yes.
Partnerships are
sometimes.
Partnerships are very smart in the idea that I don't have to be looking for it. I see it fall into it. It may make me interested, right? I think about, I'm a T-Mobile subscriber. My phone's with T-Mobile, right? Delta, if you have Delta and you fly Delta, you get free internet on flight if you're a T-Mobile subscriber. Now, is that enough to make me say if I'm Verizon, I'm getting rid of Verizon, getting to T-Mobile? No, but that will make me feel good about being T-Mobile. Or if I'm in the conversation for changing my phone, I could say, oh, well, like right now with my T-Mobile, I get free internet with flying with Delta. I get Netflix for free. I get Paramount Plus for free, I think, or Apple TV Plus for free. I know there's another one. I'm not out here looking for that, but I'll show take it, and it makes me feel good about my choice. So Crunchyroll, I don't know very many people that's going to be like, I'm only flying Delta to watch anime. But if I'm on Delta and I'm looking and I see Crunchyroll and I'm a dude that likes anime, that may make me think, well, yeah, it's a more comfortable flight if I can watch what I want to watch. So I think it will be smart in the deal of it, and it'll be utilized. But I don't think it's like going to be completely like genre changing.
Tony, what do you think about this? I mean, is this enough to convince you to get on an airline right now, and B, if so, to get on Delta?
I can't believe I've flown in my life as much as I have, considering how much I absolutely despise flying, and let alone being up like 25 feet in the air on a scissors lift at work, you know? So
36,000 feet. Hey, who's counting?
Yeah. And I'm not a huge anime fan. I think it's cool for their passengers. Cool. Another media option for them to consume their time on the flight, right? And that's all we're really trying to do on an airplane is just get through the flight. Like, let's just land safely. Everybody's fine. Everybody on time. Go about their day. You know, statistically, very safe. In person, not for everybody. Although, here's how I'll wrap this up. Let's talk about David Letterman when he was doing the Late Show. There was a segment. Is this something? This is not something.
Yeah,
nothing, huh?
Making something, making love out of nothing at all, or something like that. Wow, we're quoting Air Supply lyrics now. That's bad. I mean, I think, you know, obviously, if you've got kids, that's a win for you. If you're flying Delta and you got kids, man, you are set, because you just put them in front of Crunchyroll. Well, some of Crunchyroll, not all of it, but some of it for sure. And that's a good time. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool perk. I don't know if it's a game changer for Delta. I don't know if anything's a game changer for these airlines right now, because like, you guys got to get your shit together to make this a little bit safer for people. But anyway, it's an interesting, and if you're a big anime fan, yeah, that may be a selling point. But I tend to agree with Tony, like, It's more of a nothing than a something, but it is kind of a cool perk. If you're already on Delta and you love anime, then hey, you know, you're gonna dig it. You're gonna dig it the most. Tony, I think you shared the next thing, which was we got a first look at some of the costumes for the characters in the upcoming Boys prequel, which I gotta be honest with you guys, I completely forgot this was happening. I know Gen V starting back with season 2 next month. I know we got the Boys season 5 coming, and I flat out forgot Vought Rising was even a thing until Tunney sent these photos over with the characters. And I mean, the costumes look fine. I'm still more intrigued by the story and the people involved. You know, the early days of Soldier Boy, the early days of, who was it, Stormfront? Is that the Nazi bitch who got taken down in season 2? I think this deals with her in the early days of that. And yeah, I mean, how Vought came into power, how they came to be, how Compound V came to be. It all sounds fun to me, that sort of thing. But Tunney, you shared this. I want to go to you first. Your thoughts on how do these costumes look with these characters, and how are you feeling about this prequel series, which we really haven't talked about a whole lot on here?
No, I mean, Jensen Ackles and Aya Cash look great. They do have that old school feel, like we're kind of starting from the beginning here a little bit, the peak of where these people were at. So yeah. I think it's a fun story to tell. This is a movie, right?
TV show.
Oh, it is a TV show. Okay, my bad. I knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we cover so much stuff. But no, it looks fun. I'm so interested to see some of these people in this cast work together. A lot of them have worked together before, so it should be interesting.
Elizabeth Posey as Private Angel. Yes, that works. I'm just looking at that picture like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, there's some very militaristic, old school. One of these guys looks like a cross between Green Arrow and I don't know what. That's
the one that looks like Green Arrow is Soldier Boy.
That is Soldier Boy. Yeah, yeah, Jensen Ackles. Okay. And the other guy looks like an aviation version of Homelander. That's Bombsight, Mason Dye. So, okay. And then you got Mr. Rear Admiral himself here. Torpedo, Will Hawkman. Okay. So, yeah, the costumes work even without knowing exactly what's going on. And all that kind of stuff. So yeah, Ray, what do you think of this? What's that?
Bombsight. Did you see Mason?
Yeah.
What'd you see? Mason Dye's Bombsight? That he looks pretty good with the bomber jacket.
He does. He does. But yeah, I think clearly Elizabeth Posey as Private Angel is that's where you gotta spend your time, guys. So just
man down.
Yeah, man down, exactly. Ray, what are your thoughts on these costumes? And all right, I got to compose myself here. What do you think of these costumes? Yeah, I need a private moment. I need a private moment, guys. Just give it to me. what do you think of these costumes and Vought Rising in general, Ray?
So the synopsis says, a twisted murder mystery about the origins of Vought in the 1950s, the early exploits of Soldier Boy, and the diabolical maneuvers of a soup known to fans as Stormfront, who was then going by the name Clara Vought. The murder mystery thing, I don't know how I feel about that. I oftentimes am annoyed by prequels because the idea of a prequel is to give context, and more than often, they change the context. So if they just give context, I'm all for it. But if you want to come start changing the lore that we've already built up for 3-4 seasons and in a whole spinoff, it's going to annoy the hell out of me. I will say they look great. Looks like it's casted well. And knowing that it's going to be focusing on militaristic things, which I guess it would make sense if they created a superhero serum, they try it in the military first. That makes some sense. I'm interested. I'm here. I'm going to watch it, clearly. But the prequel thing scares me, especially with the murder mystery. A military murder mystery? It's a little weird.
Yeah, it is kind of a little strange, isn't it? So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this whole thing. But yeah, Vought Rising, I'm not sure when that's coming. Is that October or no? That's a ways off. I'm thinking of something else.
I'd imagine it comes after the Boys season finale. Because yeah, the Boys season five is done. It's in post. Like everybody's done filming. So
that's true. We also got, last thing we're going to do before we take our first commercial break, we got a poster that came out for Fallout Season 2. which is coming in December. We don't have a specific date yet, but the poster itself strongly suggests that when Fallout 2 does drop, we're going to New Vegas. Now, for those of you who have not played the games, it may not mean a whole lot. That'd be you, Ray. I don't know if Tony's played any of the games yet. But for those of us who did play the games, you know that New Vegas is a pretty messed up place, as if everything in Season 1 of Fallout wasn't already messed up. So I've watched the first season. I love the first season of Fallout. I'm excited to see Season 2 coming. And it's not that far off. We're talking 4 months. So yeah, let's go, man. Let's get to New Vegas. Let's see what happens in Season 2 of Fallout. I'm ready. Tony, you got your microphone down. I sure you got something to say here, my friend.
Just to go back real quick, late 2026, early 2027 is the expected release date for Vought Rising. As far as Fallout Season 2 goes, I do not have anything to add. Did not play the game, didn't watch the first season. Looked great. I'm glad, like I said before, those who are fans, I'm glad that it was good and that you had enjoyed it. And I'm hoping that's the second season, you guys enjoy it just as much.
Thank you, Tony. I'm going to jump into that thing. Ray, did you watch Fallout Season 1 at all?
I did not. I'm sure I'll watch it eventually, but I'll tell you this.
When you get done watching Flash Gordon, right, you might turn on Fallout Season 1.
Look, don't patronize me, bro. Don't patronize me, okay? Walton Goggins is having a moment.
Yes.
And this is only going to further that moment because he's the star of the show, right? The ghoul?
Yes.
Shout out to Walton Goggins.
He's living his best life right now.
Yeah, if your goggles aren't Goggins, they shouldn't be on your noggins.
There he is.
Yeah, he's back. He's back. He's back. It took him a while to get into the swing of it, but he's back, so.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, no, you've
but
been
that,
here.
But that witty, snappy banter of yours has been, you know, bottled up so far. Now I can see it oozing out. It's trickling out. It's like a volcano getting ready to erupt. You can see it bubbling within him.
A pussy boil. You can't stop from coming up.
Like a pussy boil. There goes your, there goes the name of the show. Bandwagon Nerd 302, like a pussy boil.
Yeah, you know
I
what, Ray? Yeah, maybe I mean, that's too many phones for Pat to go through in one episode. That'd be his fourth one, so we can't do that.
Phones, the tablet,
Patrick's going to want to throw his phone is because the number of times you've said how many times he wants to throw his phone. I think if you just had a conversation, he'd be fine.
Well, that may be true. He's got bigger fish to fry than us. But what we're going to do though is we're going to take our first commercial break here. I think behind the scenes we'll probably take our little sojourn out of here and then come back. But Tony, although I know you can't play the soundbite, you can tell people where to go to get their hands on some sweet Chair Shot merchandise, can't you?
Yeah, you can. All right. Well, I could tell them where to go. Hey, you can head on over.
You can go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Hey, a whale's vagina. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great t-shirt designs. Spend a couple extra dollars. Get it in soft style. It'll feel great on your epidermis. Your epidermis will thank you. Makes a great gift as well. Your friends will thank you. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com. We, of course, continuously remind you to always use your head, which I know is tough if you're on social media. Using your brain is kind of optional at times, but you know, we're gonna hold out hope for the world. Probably,
Dave, I can send you the Patreon version of this recording where I never stopped recording in between, and they can hear everything we just talked about.
Well, as long as you're going to set us up for, like, you know, we're going to get paid for it, you know, premium content, baby.
Don't give him that though, Tony, because we broke kayfabe.
Yeah, BWN After Dark.
I said your real name. People don't need to know that.
I was going to say something really bad. And I just like, I was like, no, and I held off. So then you don't even have any idea because I never started. So I don't even know why I'm talking still.
Let's move into part two of our news segment. New York Comic Con is coming up, and as it's like something else that I kind of forgot about till Patrick gave us the link to this thing, and I sent you guys an article, and man, I know it's not till October 10th, I believe, is when it starts, but there's a lot of stuff going on here at New York Comic Con. Tony, I think like the main thing that jumps out to me, and I know we've talked about this before, and this becomes important because Game Gone Wrong will be coming to an end in the next few weeks, but we got a Game of Thrones. We're going to get more information on the Game of Thrones prequel, Seven Kingdoms. We're going to get to the journey into Westeros with Dunk and Egg. So we're going to get a panel discussing that. That looks like it's coming up on Thursday, October 9th. What do you think about that, Tony? I mean, I know it's something that from the Game of Thrones standpoint, we're both kind of looking forward to this. I told Ray before we started recording, I've read the graphic novel and it was very good. And it is a different sort of Game of Thrones story. But what do you think? I mean, you got to be pretty jazzed about this one.
I want it to be successful in a way that it spurs more stories that haven't been told yet, right? And I think I've been a proponent for this in Star Wars for years on this show. Like, tell me the unspotlighted, interesting parts that got us to these bigger parts that could be even more interesting. You're seeing a lot of that with House of the Dragon right now. So I'm excited, first of all, for the potential of the show Game Gone Wrong, because, you know, we have House of the Dragon in front of us. We have this show to cover now. And hopefully with this success and more spinoff success, you know, we can find out things like what's west of Westeros, because we're all excited for this realm to be expanded, to fill in the gaps, because Lord knows we're not ever going to get the ending we're never going to get the ending that this universe is entitled to, because it deserves a better ending than it doesn't have, because it's just out there unfinished. It will never be finished. So how can you even come in and criticize what's trying to be done is ridiculous. I will continue to enjoy what they do moving forward, but yeah, let's just have it be successful in a way that encourages more holes being filled. That's what she said.
Nice tie in there. Ray, are you a Game of Thrones fan, or do you care about the prequel series that they're going to do?
99% serious there, you know?
I know.
Thank you for the clarification. I am not a Game of Thrones guy, although I am very up to date with what's happened. By osmosis, everybody I know in the world has watched the show. I feel like I've watched every episode, and I've only seen probably five. I know nothing about the prequels, for the record, so Game Gone Wrong is y'all's thing. I will tell you, though, I'm so happy for New York Comic Con, because every year we do this show, Patrick goes on, rightfully so, about how New York is kind of dying. Because San Diego's taken so much of the steam, but New York started. And New York became more of the comic, more of the con for actual comics, for actual written material, and to actually meet these people and get to know these people and learn about the stories they're telling. There's a lot of that. There's a Gotham City run for DC. There's some new Marvel stuff. There's a lot of that. But I personally appreciate some of the look-ins we're getting. Underrated show you guys probably never watched, Alex Cross, the Cross series with Aldous Hodge. Really good. Really, really good. Way better than the Tyler Perry movie. Don't watch that. What's old boy from Prison Break? Tunny. What's my boy's name that played Captain Cold? His real name? You know what I'm talking about. He's the bad guy in Alex Cross. Yeah, he's good. He's the bad guy in the movie Alex Cross. Anyway, I'm going on tangents. Getting to see the X-Men first class guys, McAvoy, Nick Holt, and Elliot Page come back and talk, and getting to see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ming Na's coming, Chloe Bennett will be there, Clark Gregg will be there. Like, that got me hyped, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started this shit. Wentworth Miller, yeah, Prison Break, thank you. Great actor. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started this. Respect to everything DC has done. This is no diss. But in terms of episodic and kind of in the universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the first one to do that. So I'm hyped about that. It's going to be fun. Like, I would really enjoy to have 3 days at that con just walking around and seeing this shit. That'd be real fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there. I mean, like you're saying, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion is going to be good. You know, you've got some stuff with The Walking Dead, just kind of scrolling through here. It's Welcome to Derry has got some never-before-seen clips that are coming up. Like you said, the X-Men stuff, Bob's Burgers. They've got a lot of stuff that's actually here at New York Comic Con. Are you guys seeing anything else that's really jumping out at you?
Oh, should I close the tab? Hold on.
Wait. Yeah, what else is happening here? Critical Role.
Invincible panel.
Yeah, the Invincible panel. This is an interesting one. Critical Role in Prime Video. So you've got the animated world, you know, all this stuff that Legend of Vox Machina, which is one of the best animated, you know, we talked anime earlier. So that should be pretty cool. That's on the main stage the first night. RoboCop,
35 years of justice.
Welcome to Derry, the TV show.
Yep.
The new movie, The Running Man, Paramount. They'll be there. Glenn Powell, the new It Boy.
This sounds fun, right?
You
mentioned Apple TV, Slow Horses. They're going to do something with that, which is a BAFTA award-winning hit espionage drama following a dysfunctional team of British intelligence agents who serve in a dumping ground department of MI5. Huh, that sounds fun.
Just a small side note, gaming-wise, Capcom 90-minute panel showcasing some recent upcoming releases.
All right.
How about Jim Lee and friends? This year's New York Comic Con DC president, publisher, and chief creative officer, Jim Lee will treat fans to a powerful lineup of surprise announcements, reveals, and special guests, along with great conversations with top comic creators. DC over here, guys.
I wonder if James Gunn will make an appearance. Because I mean, Jim Lee, I know, is DC Comics and that sort of thing. But I wonder if there's any going to be, you know, any sort of crossover or anything like that. Ray says no.
No.
Okay.
Not big enough.
What's not big enough? New York Comic Con?
Look, I don't hate James Gunn. I like him a lot. But the boy got real bougie.
All right, Ray. All right. Let's see.
Come on, bro. Don't do that to me. Don't little bro me. Like, come on, dog. You know the boy feeling himself right now.
Oh, I know. It'd be a big coup and a nod for New York Comic Con to get a James Gunn cameo. I mean, that'd be huge for them, don't you think?
I think it'd be good for New York Comic Con. What does it do? Yeah.
I see Kevin Feige rolling up to New York Comic Con.
No, that's
right. But Kevin Feige never ever played that game. And remember, just James Gunn is a director. Kevin Feige is a studio head. So you ain't gonna go to that shit.
Here you go, guys. Hold on. Right. Sony Pictures panel and footage, which means mediocre Spider-Man movies. Maybe you'll get some, you know, as to the next, what is it? What's the next Spider-Verse brand movie?
No way.
Not Brand New Day, the animated one.
Oh, Beyond.
Yeah, I wonder if we might maybe get some news about that here. That's possible. this is fun. The Lost Boys adapting the film for Broadway. Now, there was something not how in the world do you adapt The Lost Boys for Broadway? That's a unique concept. I keep saying that. How can you do that for Broadway? But they've proven me time and time again that they're more than capable of pulling that stuff. Adventure Time, okay, which is fun. Phineas and Ferb. So you got your animation fix going on. It looks like a really, really solid lineup. Surprisingly strong. Do you guys see anything else in there that we haven't talked about that's got you excited? Tunny, anything got your nipples going?
There was something for Apple Plus TV in there.
I said that Slow Horses thing. I don't know if that's what you were looking at.
Yeah. You know, I got the Brewers were on Apple Plus the other night, which I was just like, oh man, am I going to have to get Apple Plus again? That's $9.99. It's like, oh my God. So we'll see. I don't know.
What about the Brewers?
So Apple TV has some Major League Baseball package. So the Brewers were on Apple Plus TV the other night amidst this 14-game winning streak, possibly 15 as we speak on how they're doing right now.
Again, another underrated thing about Apple TV Plus, they have the MLB package and they have the MLS package.
Are the Brewers still on the undefeated streak, Tony?
Going for 15 today. They're down 1-0 in the top of the eighth in Cincinnati.
They got him right where they want him.
the last few weeks, the last few games, it feels like it. 11 innings and then a 7-run comeback in a couple last couple games. So anyway. No Four Corners podcast this week. So we throw in a little bit of baseball talk up to date.
There you go. Go Brewers. Yes. Yeah, I love that Orioles pitcher almost had that perfect game the other night and then tried to barehand that ball to first base. And that should have been an error. How is that a hit? You know?
Yeah, I don't think it matters. He tried to make sure that it stayed perfect. I would have done the same thing. I would have tried to make the same play.
Yeah. All right. Well, New York Comic Con should be a lot of fun. I'm sure as we get closer to it, we will have more conversation and more discussion about it. You guys mentioned X-Men. Ray, you mentioned X-Men. And of course, that means that we've got to talk about this Bo DiMaggio saga getting weirder and uglier all the time. And Ray, I know you've been watching this one closely. So do you want to try and dissect what the hell is going on with all this nonsense with Bo DiMaggio, Kevin Feige? This is no longer a quiet war. This is now getting rather vocal and personal. So I want to go to you first because I know you're following this thing pretty closely. What are your thoughts on this whole mess of a situation with Bo DiMaggio and Kevin Feige?
I want the boy to go away.
So
I want the boy to go away.
Yeah. Why? I mean, when this first happened, you were very supportive of him, but that seems to have kind of changed a little bit.
Well, so a lot of the times, there's been a lot of times recently where someone's been cut from a position or cut from a job and we don't know anything else. Jonathan Majors comes to mind from Kang, right? Where you're wondering what happened and could it have been reconciled? Why did it happen in the time it happened? Because any company of that size does something, not just for reason, but the timing as well. He got cut in the middle of the season. You know what I'm talking about? Or was it before the season? It was some kind of crazy timing.
Yeah, right before it premiered, right?
Yeah, and so I'm not a person who likes to think, not just negative, but like as negative as it possibly could have gotten, as some of the rumors were. So I'm just thinking, man, what could have possibly happened? Like, let the boy do his job. And then things come out and you hear certain things and you see, however you feel about it, there is some cause. Is it the right cause? You be the decider. But there was some cause for them to do what they did. But then he started opening his motherfucker. I don't like, look, don't ever let me begrudge you for it. If you feel wronged, to try to vindicate yourself. That is your right. As a citizen, that's your right. As a person, that's your right morally. But the things you're throwing out and you're fighting for, like, you're mad because you got fired from a job and you're not credited for that job. Okay, Twitter's not going to fix that for you, bro. Take that up in the courts. What's it going to do? But now he's upset because what is it that he's not? Feige did something. Remind me what Feige did.
Let's see. I'm trying one of the, this is his tweet. One of the many final straws for me was Kevin and the studio leadership not attending the premiere to thank or show support for the cast and crew who busted their ass working 7 days a week for 3 years to make the show what it was. Yeah, and also the studio declining to do a wrap party to celebrate the show's success in May. Who paid $7K out of his one pocket for the wrap party for the crew? That would be me.
Dog, like, again, I'm not saying he doesn't have points, but you're coming off as a petulant child because you're complaining about every single little thing and you're gone.
Yeah.
You're gone. Handle this the proper way. You're doing this to try to get people behind you and nobody fucking with it.
Yeah. And I know, like, I think, like, he was allegedly, or what they said he was terminated was for having an OnlyFans account, right? And I think there was also some, belief about homosexuality and things like that. And so,
he's gay. But then the initial rumor was he was talking to someone underage.
Yeah, and I know there's, you know, that's obviously not going to fly so far. But yeah, now we're just getting into pretty significant levels of pettiness with this whole thing, aren't we, Ray? I mean, that's really what it sounds like. It's just like, oh, you didn't throw a rap party for this thing. All right. Do they throw rap parties for every series, especially an animated series? Now, maybe live action, I could see something, but it's just about, 10, 15 of us hanging out and celebrating our accolades, that sort of thing. I don't know how it works, but it just seems so petty.
And if I'm mistaken, now look, would it have been nice for Feige to have been there? Hell yeah. If I'm not mistaken, when they were recording X-Men 97, the first season. Not when it came out. When they were recording it, this was either in the pandemic, the end of the pandemic, or it was definitely before they changed their ideology of slowing down. So that means that this man was on four different sets at once trying to get things right. You know what I'm talking about? Movies, TV shows, special presentations. Don't forget about Elsa Bloodstone and Swamp Thing or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like all the, not Swamp Thing, Man Thing, Man Eat, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. All these things that's going on. And you want him to pop into the studios just to say hi to the dudes that's drawing? I'm not saying he shouldn't, but like, that's enough for you to be like, I'm done with Kevin Feige. Grow up, dog.
I tend to agree with you, Ray, that this went from a just and noble cause and somebody who had the perception that he was perhaps terminated for some really flimsy and questionable reasons to now you start looking at, this guy's a little bit unhinged. That sort of thing. It's doesn't it start to remind you of the Ray Fisher situation a little bit, right? It's got that sort of feel to it. Not, it's different, but it feels like bit.
Yeah. It does. I do feel Ray Fisher was a lot more unjustly treated than Bo was, because ultimately, worst case scenario, utilization and whatnot, how you feel personally and whatever, I can't speak to that. What I can speak to is Ray Fisher's career is damn near done. He almost was like blackballed. Every single thing Bo DiMaio did in season one and season two is still happening.
Yep.
Even if they don't put your name on the marquee, we know you wrote it. So like, at least your vision is still being shown. My boy Ray Fisher can't get a job right now.
Yeah. Honey, you got any thoughts on this? I mean, this is just like next level pettiness, or think he's got a point here?
I think the two of you have had a great conversation about this topic.
he's not the best color man in the business for no reason. Dynamite drop in there, Monty. That was awesome. I'm like, I wish everything would work out and everybody would, you know, sing Kumbaya and it would be all cool, but we know that's not going to happen. So unfortunate, but that's where we are. It's an ugly situation. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better, which is the sad truth of the situation. But speaking of things that are starting off really good and probably only going to get better, early reviews for Peacemaker Season 2, 100% debut on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, granted, at the time this came out, it was only 16 outlets reporting. I don't know what its score is now. I'm going to probably look it up right now just to see what we can find on this thing. But, Tony, I want to go to you first, because I know you are looking forward to the premiere of season two as well as I am. And I know it comes out, what, this week, August 21st is when Peacemaker season two finally debuts. What are your thoughts? How are you feeling, man? This has got to make you feel pretty good about coming into season two with such high buzz around it.
Are we going to start this without Patrick next week?
Yes, we are. Okay. I'm going to make an executive decision here in his absence. But no,
I think he'd be okay with that. I think we've done that in the past where we've continued when someone's so. Yeah, all right.
I will double check with him, but I'm sure he's going to say go for it. But let's see. So I'm looking through this right now. But your thoughts on this strong start for Peacemaker?
It's interesting. I've seen the trailer, I've seen, or teaser, or whatever you want to call it, and first look and things of that nature. And I guess we're dealing with more of like another world Peacemaker, right? That we're trying to figure himself out.
So hold up. Let me give this to you. It is up. It is still at 100% and it's at 35 reviews now. So now you start looking at this thing saying, okay, we got something going on here. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, you're fine. I have heard people who are serious, you know, fans of Marvel and DC and, you know, have watched the first season that are kind of worried about where we're going here. But I got to tell you personally, I'm not worried at all. I'm really not. Like, you have John Cena here. I'm telling you right now, we've already talked about how he is maybe already top five best cast actors in a comic book movie role. He will deliver. I don't think him and James Gunn would let that happen. This is a part of actual DCU. I think any skepticism will be quelled after the second episode at the least. But this is going to knock it out of the park again. The players are too good at their roles. This is going to be good. And remember, It's Peacemaker, folks, not Batman.
Yeah, hopefully people remember that, and don't expect this to be something that it's not. But Ray, what do you think, man? 100%, 35 reviews. That's a hell of a start. I mean, those are Alien Earth like numbers, and that bad boy is sitting at 96%. Jeez, that's high. With it's not telling me yet. But anyway, go ahead, Ray. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No. So am I surprised? No. The first season was amazing. The cast is impeccable. They truly work together in a way that while we know Cena is the star, it feels like an ensemble. James Gunn truly cares about this character, as you can tell, because to put all these random-ass characters in Suicide Squad and to pick a couple of them to continue to use, he had to really care about them, right? You don't just find Peacemaker and not really want to do something with them. I don't want to, unless you guys want to revisit it, I don't know if Tony was alluding to me, because I have two major qualms with the possibility of the season. I'm not saying it's going to turn me off. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch. I'm not even saying I'm going to be skeptical. But those two things do trouble me. And that is, one, the bullshit timeline that James Gunn unnecessarily, terribly, strategically, arrogantly did by starting with fucking Creature Commandos and having Rick Flag in both of those shows, and now all of a sudden want to go out to Peacemaker when he knew the whole time Peacemaker was the guy that killed his son. And my fear of playing with multiverses too early to where it's going to become something that the crowd either feels like is coming, is necessary, or they're unable to ignore its absence. I think the season's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an excellent season. I know it is the next step in the DCU, you know, and I think that this is coming off the heels of Superman, which, of course, did release on digital just this last week. I know Ray bought it day one, so I appreciate that, Ray. Thank you so much for that. Look at that sly grin on his face. Yeah. DJ, we're waiting for you to watch it, but he says he's waiting for it to come on Max. I'm thinking about buying it and just sending it to DJ and say, here, just watch it, man. Just, you know.
Damn it, but you're going to watch it today.
You're going to watch it whether you like it or not. I think with Peacemaker coming out, this will be a good week. I'm really looking forward to seeing just, you know, the trailer we got a week or two ago with the alternate, you know, the mirror or the parallel dimension and Chris going in there to be somebody that he can't be in his regular place because of the woman he's obviously in love with who's resisting his charms. So he goes someplace where she can't see him. See what I did there, Ray? Sorry, Tony. Oh, Tony's like, you're
phone
an
number
idiot.
Phone number five was just broken.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So Peacemaker comes out this week. We will, as long as Patrick does not have a huge objection, which I don't think he will. We'll be covering, I don't know how many episodes are dropping. All of them or just a couple of them probably?
No, Max does a weekly thing.
Yeah, Max
they
will
may
do
drop
weekly.
Two or three, but they do weekly.
Yeah, I'm hoping they do two at a time. That'd be cool. That'd be a really good start to the whole thing. So we'll see what they come up with. But you know what, guys? Let's take our second commercial break. When we come back, we're going to do
Hold on.
One What's episode happened? At a time.
Oh, they're doing one at a time?
One at a time.
Okay. So we'll cover episode one next week, and then Pat will be back to how many episodes is season two going to be? Does it say?
10?
8 weeks in a row. One episode at a time.
Oh,
okay. Eight episodes. 8 weeks in a row. Okay. That'll be cool. There is no shortage of stuff on TV right now. We'll talk about that a little bit when we get to what you're watching. But let's take our second commercial break. When we come back, we are going to regale you people with this interesting bandwagon nerds what if idea that we came up with. I'll explain the rules. They're not that complex, but we got some fun stuff that we've talked about ahead of time. We know where we're going with these things. But I want to remind you all again, you are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, which is a part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, and we are back. So this idea, I kind of, you know, because Pat was going to be gone for a couple weeks, And I said, you know what? Let's do something fun. I didn't want to do a full-blown project. And Pat comes up with these great ideas with, you know, national treasures and drafts and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, you know what? Let me try my hand at something unique. And kind of I thought about what if. I said, you know, let's come up with our own sort of what if sort of scenario. But let's keep it really compartmentalized and keep the rules very specific. The rules for this are pretty simple. We are limiting this what if to what we call the big three here on Bandwagon Nerds, which is Marvel, DC, and Star Wars. That is the foundation that Bandwagon Nerds was built upon. It is the foundation that has stood tall for damn near 6 years now, as far as the most important things that we talk about, other than streaming services. But so I said, okay, you got to keep it within the big three. And since we're doing this 2 weeks in a row, you can't use the same topic twice. So in other words, Tony, you're going to have to come up with something other than DC next week. I hate to tell you, buddy. I hate to do that to you, but he's like, he's okay with it. All right. Because he knows Grant Gustin's going to be in the MCU any day now, so he's all right with it.
No. Flash is gonna run through the multiverse and gonna show up in Earth 616 in the MCU.
Yes.
And use Flash for next week.
It could happen.
While I appreciate both of you, I appreciate neither of your tones currently.
Hey, I don't like your tone. It's all wrong. You do it again, I'm gonna stab you in the face with a soldering iron, right, Tony?
Oh, smarts, doesn't it? That's the best it's gonna get.
Yeah. So we're going to start this week with, and we know that we're going to have to come up with something different next week, but I will take volunteers. Anybody want, Tony's going to go first. I want to hear this. All right. Tony, I already know you said you're doing DC. So I want to hear what you've got. I'm going to guess it's Flash related, but I don't know.
No way.
Obviously. Right. What if Flash gained powers and teamed up with Eobard Thawne? That would be one hell of a duo to have to deal with from the Justice League. Considering I'm going to set the premise that Barry Allen will maintain his relationship through manipulation with the Speed Force, while Eobard Thawne also brings the negative Speed Force. So you're not just dealing with one, but two Speed Forces. A regular Flash, a good Flash, is the paragon of love. The opposite of love is selfishness. He is the paragon of selfishness. So whatever makes his purpose better is what happens, is what is his major goal. So while you can probably use Wonder Woman and Green Lantern to protect the people and Superman in short bursts to defend off against attacks against both, right? Like the best thing you probably have going for you is Katana, Dr. Fate, and Aquaman. You know, setting some traps, but like the use of time travel and both speed forces, this is a duo that could dominate multiple Earths for multiple generations.
And can I ask questions?
Fire.
Yes.
This is, we're assuming that Thawne turns Barry good or Barry turns Thawne back.
Thawne finds a way to threaten Barry enough that he turns and then just grows into turning into worse than Thawne, right? Chris doesn't mean anything to him anymore. Maybe Wally West gets turned. Like the biggest thing they can do to stop the Justice League would be to go back in time and stop Batman from becoming Batman. Maybe even put Kal-El on their side by dropping his pod in LexCorp's backyard as opposed to where he was found as well. Like there's so many things they can do because they think faster, they move faster, they react faster, plus they have time travel on their side, right? Like this isn't just one of them, this is both of them. It's pretty insane if you think about it.
I thought you were going to say Thawne turned good because then I was going to ask, well, is Barry's dad alive? Is Barry's mom alive?
I don't think it matters at all here because Barry's turned bad, but manipulates his relationship with the actual Speed Force. That way he still draws that power and you still get the negative. Like in some weird way, they get both Speed Forces working together. They're unstoppable.
Yeah, that's a formidable duo to try and deal with, Ray. You got any, Superman in certain places could do something. Probably Batman would have to be the one to come up with some way to stifle this. And he probably could, but
think about the time travel aspect of thinking ahead, like, and I'll, and like They can save Batman's parents. They can cause Superman to land somewhere else, right?
On Venus, where there is nobody.
In the outdoor backyard break room of LexCorp. How's that sound?
Yeah, I think you're right. With the time travel element, you're going to need one of the magical people, Dr. maybe. Dr. Fate, Zatanna, Phantom Stranger. Yeah, maybe Phantom Stranger, Spectre. Spectre could pretty much rearrange everything as he wanted to.
Actually, Constantine, while you're playing, Constantine might be another good one that could help with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have to be something mystical to interrupt the speed force and the time travel element of that sort of thing. Otherwise, yeah, there's problems there. That's a good one, Tony. Ray, did you want to do yours? You want to do yours next? Because yours
It's a break. He wants a break. Mine was too good.
The world is not ready for yours, Dave. So I think I need to go.
Uh-oh. Oh boy! Wow.
I think I need to go before you.
Oh man, is this more like wrestling kind of superhero thing than anything? Okay,
no.
I'm ready.
I'm the mid card lead into his main event.
I just wanted to start off. I figured I'd volunteer to start this whole thing off because people knew I was going to do something Flash at some point. So I figured I'd do it right away. Next week, I got like a whole nother week to prepare for it. I knew I wanted to do this. I knew where I wanted to go. So I hope you all like that. If you have never watched Flash on CW, the series with Grant Gustin, it's on Netflix. Go watch it. Like if you're a dad in your 30s, 40s, whatever, 20s, and you have a son that's like 6, 7, 8 or through their teens, early teens, go watch it with them. It's a great series. It really, really is. It's a great character. The Paragon of Love is my favorite character. I hate to cast him as a bad guy, but I had fun.
And go watch Tony's favorite Flash, Ezra Miller, as they play the Flash in the movie, The Flash.
I would raise punishment, like should be suspension from Chairshot Radio Network for multiple weeks. But it's going to be, you're now going to have to, once football season starts, you're going to have 18 weeks of fun, buddy.
Oh, I'm trying to get away. Yes. He won't let me.
Enjoy just your week off after this accident.
That's right, baby.
All right,
Ray, give it to us.
I chose Marvel.
Yes.
I wanted to do something that was big, but I didn't want to do something that most people would think to do. And I didn't realize how big this really could possibly become. My what if is, what if Thor went for the head? In Avengers Infinity War, the last thing Thanos does in Wakanda when he gets the gauntlet together is kill Vision to get the Mind Stone. And he gets ready to snap, and Thor pops in and hits him with Stormbreaker in the neck, but he doesn't cut his head off. And Thanos says, one of the most gangster lines in cinema, "You should have went for the head." Snaps, dips, everything's different. What if that never happened and Thor cut his head off before he could snap? So I have a couple of things. First and foremost, I have my list, and I use the good homie ChatGPT to help with some of this. So I'm going to give you some of ChatGPT's. First off, we know the snap never happens, but the Infinity Stones and the Infinity Gauntlet are still together in there. So now, instead of the stones being destroyed, they're all in one place, and now Earth and the Avengers will have to defend that, because the Black Order and everybody in the universe knows where all the stones are. Because remember, Thanos left devastation in his wake. Another thing is, because this happened before the snap, Tony Stark and Nebula aren't stranded in the spaceship by themselves for all the time, years, whatever it was. Tony's PTSD doesn't grow. And who's to say Tony now wants to retire and have a family? Maybe we see no Morgan Stark, right? Another one is, Doctor Strange was wrong. Doctor Strange went through all those scenarios, and they did it in one. So now, why did he give away the time stone if he was wrong? Also, Steve Rogers doesn't go back in time and end up with Peggy.
Yeah.
So Steve stays Captain America, which means no Black Falcon Captain. Sam Wilson is still Falcon.
Black Falcon. Steve is
still kicking. Another thing, Black Widow doesn't die. Black Widow sacrifices herself for the Soul Stone. So now Hawkeye doesn't go through his depression. So, by the way, Hulk doesn't injure himself And in fact, we never get Smart Hulk. Because if you remember, Smart Hulk happened in the 5-year blip. Oh, yeah. Again, no 5-year blip. Let me go through a couple of other things I wrote down. Vision and Gamora are still dead. We don't get the out-of-world Gamora that we got because Nebula didn't know how to just freeze and then still press the goddamn thing to go back in time.
Right.
Captain Marvel never shows up. The only reason she comes to Earth is because while Fury's getting blipped, he hits the transponder.
Send. Yep.
Captain Marvel never shows up. The Avengers are still outlaws in the eyes of the government. The Sokovia Accords were still live. And so that's why they were the Secret Avengers. Widow, Sam, and Steve. Is Steve still Nomad? Do they live in Wakanda permanently now? We don't know. Ant-Man is not stuck in the quantum realm, which means he doesn't have the knowledge of the time that it takes to be in that quantum realm, which means, do they ever find out about Kang? We don't know. Because Rocket and Gamora weren't the only ones together, not Rocket and Gamora, Rocket and Nebula weren't the only ones stuck, is Rocket still an asshole? Because it's that time that made him really appreciate his family and what he lost, which led to the beautiful story in Guardians 3. The CIA has no reason to go after Wakanda. If you remember, after the blip with Shuri and T'Challa gone, Queen Ramunda and M'Baku and Okoye tried to run the country. Then as soon as T'Challa got back, he got sick. It's in that time where the CIA realized they don't have a Black Panther. We can go after their vibranium. Remember that? That was the whole point of Wakanda Forever. And what did that lead us to? The emergence of Talokan and Namor. What else did that lead us to? The creation of the Thunderbolts. Without any of this happening, does Val get in control and start building her team? Maybe not. So there's so many things you could go in and think about.
One big one that wasn't mentioned. Critical.
Go ahead.
Loki stays dead.
What happens to the TVA?
That's right. What happens to the whole timeline and then him holding everything together, because he never gets, they don't create that alternate reality where he survives. So Loki dies on the ship when Thanos kills him. That's pretty huge.
That's real good. I love it. It's so many what ifs, bro. That changes everything.
Yeah, who stops Kang?
Yeah, who's to stop him now at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Loki stays dead, then we don't get any. We don't get season one or two, or was there three seasons of Loki, or just two? That's just two, right? Two. Do they even find out about He Who Remains and all that kind of shit? Because that's all related to this variant.
Well, remember the keys?
Nothing.
Remember what's that Kang?
So Mobius and his jet skis.
That's right.
Remember. So He Who Remains is at the end of time in at the TVA. Chromopolis, but Kang, the main variant we know as Kang, is in the quantum realm. So, and remember when Kang got destroyed or killed, whatever you want to, and they had the Council of Kangs, they got together and said, "Well, he's gone now. So, what are we gonna do?"
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of things that could be different, man.
So that is a lot of stuff. It changes everything. Tony, you got anything that that Ray might have missed on that thing, or you got any thoughts about that scenario?
No, I mean, I kind of dropped a few different little things in between there and thought what would be really cool. It's interesting. It's a whole different, the most interesting thing to do would be to take these ideas now and have like a offshoot Bandwagon Nerds podcast about, like, you know, who would step up in this scenario now? It's something we didn't talk about, right? Like, if we're going to counteract what we knew worked to combat evil back then, what different ways would good step? Because good's always going to step up in some different way if you take away one of their options, right? Until it's completely eviscerated. That's just good. Otherwise, what's the point? Then don't play the good versus evil thing. And that's kind of the comic books boiled down to it. So no, it's a great what if.
Are you guys ready for the world breaker here?
No, they're not ready, bro.
Michael Jordan
got drafted to the Washington Bullets.
That actually did happen. Well, not drafted, but, you know, you mean drafted out of college? That would have changed things significantly. But
He's a wizard, Dave. He was a wizard.
Oh, you're right. A wizard. That's right. He's a wizard, Harry. So actually, this idea came from Ray, because I was talking to him before we got on. We were exchanging some ideas. Ray gave me this idea, and then he laughed it off. I said, hey, wait a second. That's actually really interesting and really good. And we are lovingly calling this the Star Wars Incest Party, because
should I be updating the label of mixing Ray and Dave as to proceed with extreme caution?
Yes,
because there are certain,
without the pregnancy, you know, involved. Yeah,
you know, you have the brand new culinary mixing labels that look like the chemistry experiment, right, for all your culinary needs and spices and so I think I may need to make a board where you can, you know, hey, you know, enjoy this as much as you like, but when it comes to this, maybe proceed with caution.
I got you.
Anyway, this idea, which is Ray's brainchild, I've just adopted it, is quite simply this. What if Luke and Leia never found out they were siblings and actually ended up falling in love with each other? And how would that change the Star Wars universe? And Tony's already shaking his head about
this. Game of Thrones dragons would appear. It's just like, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. But would, if that happened, and all the, you know, whatever what ifs about, would the kids come out normal? Would they have been force sensitive? Would they just be born as force masters? I tend to think the latter, that if Luke and Leia were to ever have children, they would be so imbued with the force that they would be damn near unstoppable. And probably, I can't see that, Ray. It's blending into your background. What does it say? All I see is a spaceship. Oh, there you go. I got you. 8 minutes. So I think if that had happened and they were to have offspring, it's kind of like where the Emperor says, or like, I forget who it was in the Star Wars says that if the Emperor knew that if Anakin were to ever have offspring, they would be a threat to him. Well, good God, Anakin's offspring combining and having offspring of their own, what kind of existential threat would that have been to the entire Star Wars universe? Let's say that they actually, by some miracle, stayed Jedi and didn't turn. Well, I mean, you know, they would just basically take out the Emperor and there'd be no problem. But what if the kids all turned dark and join the Sith? It's, you know, it's game over at that point. Or even better, what if, this is where it gets really good, let's say they had twins, or they had two kids. What if one went light and one went dark?
It'd probably have to be that, because from the way I've come to learn the Force, is that if there, it's about balance. There has to be an equal number on either side. So if there are two Jedis born in one world, somewhere on the other part of the universe, there is a Sith that has been created. So,
Tony, why are you leaning in here like this?
You want to push an incestuous storyline in the mid to late 70s. That's what you're telling me.
Sure.
Summer of love, baby.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. What if, I mean, you don't even, okay, all bullshitting aside, remove the incest part out of it. What if nobody, they never find out about this thing until way down the line that, you know, that this was a thing, that they just thought they were two normal people?
And real quick, Tony, before you say something, we did not create this. It is in the movie.
No, Dave did create this.
No. In the movie,
well, they, Leia just, they and Luke. Kids.
I do want to clarify, this was Ray's idea first. I just adopted it.
And then we find out they're done. The funny meme. But like, just so imagine that they would go with this as a, like any studio would go with this. Come on, guys. Think about that. Like, okay,
we're not
cool.
talking about
Change
a movie.
It,
I'm talking about a story.
Change it so that it's like a rival family with powers, right? Like a Romeo
so
and Juliet.
So Star Wars, Romeo and Juliet, huh?
Right. Well, come on now. You're trying to sell something time in which it would not even. You'd be.
It's funny you say this. It's funny you say that, because in the graph or the extended universe, not the, you know, the stuff on film, but the books that were written, Luke ends up marrying Mara Jade. And you guys can look this up. Mara Jade was originally an assassin sent to kill Luke by the Emperor. And they ended up falling in love with each other. Now that seems very unlikely as well, as far as stories go, but you know, you could see that sort of thing. I mean, like what you're saying, Tony, Jedi,
they're not
Sith
related. Seems more feasible to me.
Well,
hey, Luke,
"Hey, Leia, what's your last name? Skywalker, what's your last name? Skywalker?
Organa?"
Well, that's not mildly concerning. Let's get together.
Thank God you won't have to get a new license.
God, guys.
Exactly. Thank you, Dave. Exactly. You got it right there. Finally.
Hey, man.
Part of the fun of this thing is how ridiculous it can get. But again, remember, we could not come up with this ridiculousness if it wasn't initially in the movie.
Anyway, I like it. I think it opens up all sorts of weird possibilities for some fun stuff to happen in the Star. We could make Star Wars seem more like Game of Thrones, Tunny. You're telling me you wouldn't be down with that? Hey, and look, Tunny, to take it a step further, he's Luke is so much like Jaime Lannister. He's already had his hand cut off. So, I mean, come on, it's right fucking there.
It's the Lannister way, baby.
That is low-hanging fruit, buddy.
That's the whole reason Bran fell out the damn, got thrown out the damn thing.
That's right.
That's how we do.
I tried my best, Pat. I really did.
Episode one of Game of Thrones. I have
no fucking clue what's going to happen next week.
The brother and sister getting it on. Bran looks and gets thrown out the damn.
Turn it off, Pat. Just turn it off. Don't listen next week. Just sorry, buddy.
It's getting worse next week. It's getting worse next week.
I bet.
I like mine. My next week isn't nearly so risque, but you know, I can't wait to see what Tony.
I'll make mine worse. All right.
Oh boy,
I'm not sure what to do next week.
You'll figure something out. I'm sure
he's gonna miss his first show in like a year and a half,
2.5 years at least, or longer.
No, as long as we record one on the different time we agreed upon, we'll be good.
That's right. Tony has important stuff next week. But before we cut out of here this week and this limited amount of time we still have left, what you watching? Tony, what you been watching football. This week? Football? Ray's been watching football.
Oh, Ray, you want to go first?
Football.
Yeah. Okay. Preseason football you've been watching. Right.
Tony, Yeah, how's that going, Ray?
I'm just happy I see football.
Oh, okay.
I'm not paying attention. I'm just happy it's on the screen.
I've been playing Madden. Dave, I try not to play more than two games in a row because then like the AI in the game for their defense catches up with you because you tend to keep calling the same successful plays that like they're like planning for, which is good for the game, but you can't play like on more than all pro. All Madden just kills you. What's that? Oh yeah, we got time. That's okay. That's fine. We can pause it. I've been playing a lot of Madden. It's been really fun, but it's the same game. It's just a roster update. That's why I think 2K basketball is so awesome, because you can just go back and check out the generations of drafts. But nothing really new. Watching the actual golf playoffs, and that's about it.
I hear the halftime show is a nice new addition for Madden.
I hate that shit. Like, don't like give me that crap. Like, if I complete a pass, can I just go back to the huddle? I don't want to see it again. I don't want to see the cheer. I don't want to see the track. Like, I just want to play. I'm trying to play the game. I don't need all that extra crap.
It's like turning off the highlights on PGA 2K. I don't all give a shit what my rival's doing. Like, yeah.
For fuck's sake. Go.
For me, on the what you watching aspect of things, why are you waving? Oh. So for me, I've been watching a few things this week, but I think the two big ones are I got to watch Predator Killer of Killers, and I thought that was really good. That's really, really good. The animation is good. The stories are good. The mid-credit, which I'm not going to spoil, is, as in the words of Christopher Platt, chef's kiss, mwah. It's beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. So I highly recommend Predator Killer of Killers, especially before Badlands comes out. And I think, Ray, I know you mentioned, we talked about it a little bit. I'm halfway through the first episode of Alien Earth, and it is, so far, really, really good. So I, as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go and finish watching that first episode. That looks really fun. Very intense. Like, my wife watched the first two episodes. I'm like, well, how was it? She goes, disturbing, very intense. It makes you uneasy. I'm like, well, then it's accomplished its mission. So that's what I've been doing there. So I'm going to go and finish that. But otherwise, and I did, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched this. Like, I've only watched the first episode. I got to go back to it. But there's a show from 2017 to 2020 on Netflix called Dark. And it's like German. with, you know, it's English dubbed and subtitles. And the first episode was pretty crazy. I mean, it's got a Stranger Things big time feel to it, but probably even a little bit darker, which if you've watched any of the more recent seasons of Stranger Things, it'd be like darker than that. Yes, darker than that. Hence the word, the title of the show, Dark. So I know there's some weird shit going on. I just haven't got there yet. So I got to get back to that. But that's all I got, fellas. Guys got anything else?
Did I tell y'all I saw Weapons last week?
You mentioned it. How was that?
Okay. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You guys should watch it. Like, even Tunny. It is definitely not, it's horror only because that's the overarching genre, but it's horror in the same way Run DMC was rock. Make sense?
Yeah.
Real quick, there's two things I did catch.
Okay.
The Phoenician Scheme. It was not worth my time. And then Tires. I started watching Tires on Netflix with Shane Gillis. Watched the first two episodes. It's funny. If you don't like that humor, you don't like it. If you do, it's funny.
Speaking of that, we always talk about the death of the sitcom. The Upshaws with Mike Epps and Wanda Sykes and Shane Gillis and Tires. Netflix has some sitcoms on there. I'm talking like studio sitcoms with not the laugh track, but the people actually in studio. So it ain't dead yet.
Okay. Awesome. Well, guys, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. I hope Pat survived the episode okay, but I doubt it. But I guess we'll find out next week. Before we cut out of here, Tunny, let people know, where can they check you out on social media and all the cool stuff you got going on? Mr. Chair Shot yourself.
Chair Shot Radio Network, all of your favorite streaming platforms, thechairshot.com, and follow me at PC Tunny.
Ray Cash, where can people check you out when they're not forgetting that you have to hold onto the bow with at least one hand? At least one.
Don't throw them bows. Don't throw them bows. Drop them bows.
Drop it like it's hot, buddy.
So a friend of mine made a actual logo for me. I'm going to get a shirt that says drop them bows with the Chair Shot at logo and my logo on it.
Yes.
I really want y'all, normally I come on these airwaves, these prestigious Chair Shot airwaves, and I tell you don't follow me. Today I need you to follow me because I got some stuff I need to tell y'all. We need to have some conversations. We need to have some liberations. You can have a couple of libations if you want.
So I want you to follow me. Are we going to get out of
what
up? It's just like, what up with that? Are we doing an episode of what up that? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, hang in there, Lindsay Buckingham. We'll get to you.
Yeah. You're going to have some libations. Going to have some constipations. There's going to be some consecrations.
Have some
transportation.
Elevation.
Follow me, dear listeners, at Wrestling Realist, WRESTLNG. No, I. Realist, please.
Indeed. Tony, do you want to tell people where they can really follow Ray Cash at?
Nope. I can mute him. I'll mute you, bro. I'll do it. I'll mute you.
Find Ray Cash at It's Ray Cash. R-E-Y's Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollar signs. You couldn't do it fast enough.
Ray is still looking. He's looking for the mute button.
Damn it.
Oh, there you got it. Too late.
I was trying to get it.
Too late. Too late.
You're gonna blow, motherfucker.
Oh, as for me, of course, make sure you are following
Fox. Me and Jamie Foxx are both known as Motherfucker Jones.
Make sure you are following the show at Bandwagon Nerds on X. That is our primary Twitter X handle, whatever you want to call it. As for me, you can follow me on X if you dare at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. Tunny, DJ, and I just released the latest edition of the Big Five Project Survivor Series 1995, which came out on attitudeofaggression.com and thechairshot.com.
Celebrate, folks. Let's celebrate for fuck's
sake.
We're done.
So happy that 95 is done.
Watch how many more guests we have, Dave, now that we've entered 95.
Tunny's long national nightmare is over.
You might be able to call me now. I'm down for 97, 98, 99, right?
Hey, I'll do some 96. That's some good 96 stuff. You might be able to get there.
All right. You have an open invitation, Ray.
Hey. You can secure your spot to start 96 with the Royal Rumble if you'd like.
Yeah.
That's the one, Stone Cold.
It's the one where they have the Royal Rumble.
Sean wins.
Is this the Boyhood Dream one?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Leading into the WrestleMania 12.
I'll call you next year. Call you next year. Cool. Yeah. Okay. We see where you stand.
Tony was like,
"No, you're a call me when we need you, guy." That's fine.
Tony was like on this last episode. On this last episode, Ray, Tony was like, "Has Ray been involved in any of the big five?" I said, "He did WrestleMania 1 and 2, and he's never forgiven me for it." So, you know.
He ruined me for life. Again, mad respect to the family.
Man,
this dude made me watch David Sammartino. I will never forgive you for that. Never in my life will that be forgiven.
I love you, Ray. That's all I got to say. That is going to do it for this edition of Bandwagon Nerds, guys. Until next time, get out of the basement. I don't know how hot it is where you are, but maybe get some sun or run from it, depending on your perspective. But we will be back next week with more Bandwagon Nerds and part two of our what if scenarios. I don't know how we're going to top this week, but we're going to try. Until next time, you guys take care. That's all for this week, kids.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Boom.
Yeah.
I wonder how bad that was.
What'd you say? Oh. Yeah. You're talking to me all wrong. It's the wrong tone. You do it again, I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron. Is that right? Let me ask you something. Huh? Does your mother sew? Boom! Get in a soda!